In ancient Mesoamerican timekeeping, each year began with a year-bearer, marking the beginning of the Maya year, an energy that symbolized the destiny of the year that was to come. Ancient 15th century manuscripts give us some insight into the importance the Aztecs placed on this idea. There are passages, for example, that tell us that the year 1454 began with one rabbit as the year-bearer. And this turned out to be a devastating year in pre-Columbian central Mexico, as that was a year of great famine and widespread death, as well as massive migration. Several ancient codices offer descriptions and images of events associated with the so-called curse of one rabbit, due to the fact that over a several hundred year period, famines seem to coincide with one rabbit years. But this is not a one rabbit year. I mentioned this simply because we are currently dealing with a rabbit tracina that is coinciding with a key period during this global pandemic. So why am I talking about rabbit when the horoscope blog says this is the Lamat tracina? This is an example of different cultural groups having different names for the same energy. For the Aztec and several other groups, it was rabbit. For the Maya, it was Lamat, associated with Venus. One simple explanation is that Venus hops around the sky like a rabbit. And Venus was seen as a herald, a signaler, with this tracina positioned at the very end of the 260-day cycle, acting as a portent for things to come. Welcome to Episode 3 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. My name is Marguerite Paquin, and as mentioned earlier, I have been working with the Maya calendar for some 30 years and providing an online horoscope related to this calendar. This podcast is an accompaniment to that horoscope blog, for the purpose of extending the information further and providing an audio option for those who may prefer to listen rather than read. The emphasis is on connections between the energies of the Maya calendar and events going on in the world, and ways in which these energies relate to personal lives. In Episode 1, I gave a brief overview of the cycle of 260 days that we're working with here, representing interconnections between 20 unique days in combination with 13 unique numerical powers to create a count of days called a Dzogchen. Each of the 260 days in the cycle is unique, and every person carries the energetic imprint of the forces that were in play at the time of their birth. Those energies greatly influence how people see and interact in the world. In Episode 2, we were looking at the Eagle Tracina, which covered the last 13 days in April, and I talked about Eagle Warriors and the way we are being called to become warriors during these strange times, including the idea of donning armor and plucking up the courage of an eagle to do what needs to be done. We are seeing that everywhere these days. But one of the most heartwarming examples was seen in the UK in the efforts taken by 99-year-old World War II veteran Captain Tom Moore, who spent most of April raising money for the National Health Service to help with COVID-19 relief efforts. His original goal was to raise £1,000 by his 100th birthday by completing 100 laps around his garden, basically back and forth along the 82-foot length of his garden, using a walking frame as part of his recovery from surgery. He started this in early April, hoping to have it done by his 100th birthday on April 30th. But it didn't take long before he began to see that he was exceeding his goal, and so he carried on, surpassing £32 million, close to $40 million U.S. in funds raised by the time his birthday arrived on the last day of the Trisina. He was then given one of the greatest birthday celebrations ever and was celebrated as a national hero. Queen Elizabeth sent him a personalized card and gave him the title of Honorary Colonel for his tremendous contributions. He was given an RAF flypast by two vintage fighter planes. He was made an honorary member of the England cricket team. Some 150,000 birthday cards were sent to him, enough to fill the great hall of a nearby school when they were stood on end. Dozens of murals of him appeared around the country, and an enormous message was displayed in Piccadilly Circus that said, "Happy 100th birthday, Captain Tom Moore. The whole nation celebrates with you." He was also given a Pride of Britain award, and more than 800,000 people signed a petition calling for him to be knighted. It was a stunning example of a veteran warrior heeding the call of the Eagle Trisina, with fantastic results. So now we're working with the Lamat Trisina. The Aztec identified two patron energies as overseers of this time frame. One was Iztapal-Totec, an aspect of Xipi-Totec, the ancient lord of renewal and liberation. He was a strange-looking being, the personification of a sacrificial knife, representing the idea of cutting away that which is no longer needed in order to facilitate new growth or new life. The other was Xiuhtecuhtli, the lord of fire and time, a deity connected with time-related change, as in cycle endings. Both of these entities were oriented around the idea of setting the stage for new beginnings. Sudden and dramatic change is not unusual at this time, particularly with regard to individuals in leadership positions and events that have to do with big shifts in the trajectory of nations. In the horoscope blog, I gave some examples of this, such as the massive protest demonstrations that took place during the summer of 2017 in dozens of U.S. cities during this Trisina. The Trisina kicked off as the indivisible movement was clicking into high gear to put pressure on senators to reject the so-called revised healthcare bill, which top Democrat Nancy Pelosi warned would kill hundreds of thousands. I think we could add a huge footnote to that as this pandemic unfolds. By the middle of the Trisina, huge protests were happening in dozens of cities across the country, including New York, Austin, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, which basically took the form of impeachment marches, with people carrying signs such as "Elect a clown, expect a circus," "Orange is the new whack," "Worst president ever," and "Illegitimate, corrupt puppet." But as large and creative as these protests were, nothing changed at the top. But the director of the U.S. Office of Government Ethics announced his resignation, which was shocking since this was the government's top ethics watchdog, who seemed to be needed more than ever. The following cycle, which was early 2018, the March for Our Lives demonstrations took place as hundreds of thousands of people in Washington, D.C., and in some 830 other cities throughout the U.S. and around the world, took part in student-led marches in support of legislation to prevent gun violence. According to Wikipedia, 2 million people marched across the U.S. in the largest student protest in American history, one of the largest marches in Washington in history. It was estimated that millions marched throughout the world. The most powerful moment was the 6 minutes and 20-second speech by student Emma Gonzalez, who talked about her classmates who died in an attack at her school. She then stood in silence for several minutes to emphasize the time frame. It was referred to in Mother Jones as the loudest silence in the history of U.S. social protest. That spring, there were many sudden changes in leadership associated with the White House, starting on the very first day of the Lamont-Tresina, including the firing of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and three of his close associates, on the same day as Paul Manafort was put under house arrest. Others who lost their jobs during this period included National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, who had concurred with Tillerson that Russia was responsible for such things as the attacks on spies in the UK. FBI Director Andrew McCabe and John Dowd, the head of Trump's legal team. More information on these kinds of events are highlighted in the Horoscope blog. And I also mentioned key events related to other heads of state that have taken place during this time frame, such as the coronations of both Queen Elizabeth I and Queen Elizabeth II, the inauguration of Pope Francis in 2013, and John F. Kennedy's acceptance speech at the Democratic National Convention after winning the Democratic nomination for president in 1960. In 1918, this was the Tresina that was in place when Russia's Tsar Nicholas and his family were executed by Bolshevik troops after being removed from imperial power and held in captivity for several months. During the last podcast, I mentioned warrior characteristics associated with that Tresina, which is something that does spill over into this Lamat Tresina, as Venus was often seen by the ancient Maya as a signaler for conflict. This was the Tresina in place at the time of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945, followed by the unconditional surrender of Japan at the end of World War II. It was also in place when the U.S. Civil Rights Act was passed in the U.S. in 1957, and at the time of the first major Greenpeace event in 1975. It was also in place at the time of the storming of Baghdad by U.S. forces in 2003, and when the sweeping Wall Street Reform Bill was approved in the U.S. in 2010, and again when the Russians invaded Ukraine in 2014. One striking example of the unfolding of events during this Tresina relates to the Paris protests of 1968. I mention this in particular since the energies currently in place are exactly the same. Same days, same Maya month, with the same accompanying numbers as were in place at that time. This is called a calendar round return or new fire, as energies return in 52-year cycles. So in 1968 in Paris, this Tresina followed some earlier encounters between students at the Nanterre campus of the University of Paris who had staged protests against restrictions on dormitory visits. Over the preceding few years, the student population in France had greatly increased, and the emphasis by this time was on youth culture and pushing back against a French society that students saw as autocratic, hierarchical, and tradition-bound. The Vietnam War was raging and protests were raging. Liberation idols were influencing student thought, and French universities were a powder keg. Just prior to this Lamat Tresina, students at that campus had been staging protests against those restrictions, and over a number of days through most of the previous Tresina, the Eagle Tresina, there were violent clashes with police that involved tens of thousands of students, and there were hundreds of injuries and arrests. Then the students began to gain support from union workers who were unhappy with working conditions. By the time the Lamat Tresina came into place, workers were starting to occupy factories and lock out management. Then came large-scale strike action, from sit-down strikes in the factories to millions of workers marching in protest demonstrations, in the largest wildcat general strike in French history. By the middle of the Trasina, some of the worst fighting of that May crisis took place between police and protesters as students and workers put forward a broader, more radical agenda and demanded the ousting of both the government and President de Gaulle. By the 11th day of the Trasina, students took over the Paris Stock Exchange, raised a communist flag over the building, and tried to set it on fire. The Trasina ended a union-led general strike across France and the start of negotiations for an increase in minimum pay for workers. So this was the Trasina that brought the biggest pushes for change. So here we are again with this Trasina, which began on May 1st with a rare alignment with another cycle within this calendrical system, known as an 819-day cycle thought to be associated with Jupiter. So we had one Lemat, an initiating energy aligned with the Venus energy of Lemat, at the same time as the planet Venus is shining brightly as the evening star. This day was 1 Lemat 11 Wo, with Wo being the Maya month, at the beginning of this new 819-day cycle, making this a particularly important marker point. And it certainly was. By May 1st, the global number of COVID-19 cases reached over 3,400,000. Over 239,000 deaths had happened as of this day, and over a million had recovered. The number of cases in the U.S. was well over a million, with an overall death toll over 65,000, the world's highest. This is over a million more cases in just 13 days since the beginning of the last Trasina in mid-April. There were over 315,000 cases registered in New York, where there have been over 24,000 deaths. And although the number of cases were slowing down a bit in some European countries, there were places, such as the UK, where the numbers were rapidly increasing. But despite all that, people were starting to strongly push towards easing up on restraints, even though they aren't even close to doing adequate testing. I think this is where there will be a lot happening during this Trasina, as the battle to restrict the spread of this disease is fought against the tide of those wanting to restart various economies. New Mexico's Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham is a good example of a governor who gets it, as she invoked that state's Riot Control Act on this day to essentially lock down the city of Gallup after its mayor requested that she do so, since the county where Gallup is located, west of Albuquerque, has the highest number of confirmed cases in all of New Mexico. So came the announcement that, effective at 12 p.m. May 1st, all roads into Gallup are closed. Businesses in the city of Gallup will close from 5 p.m. through 8 a.m., and residents of the city were told to remain at home except for emergency outings and those essential for health, safety, and welfare. Already, we're seeing how people in different parts of society are responding. Another case in point was Elon Musk's tweeting on May 1st on One Lemat that Tesla's stock price was too high, which apparently wiped $14 billion off Tesla's value. Although Wikipedia tells us that he has a net worth of $39.4 billion, The Guardian noted that Tesla's share price has surged this year, putting Musk's value at close to $100 billion. They reported that securities analyst Daniel Ives told Reuters that they were seeing Musk's comments as tongue-in-cheek and Elon being Elon. But he also noted that Elon's tweeting is a hot-button issue that frustrates Wall Street and is a headache for investors. Musk also tweeted that he was selling almost all physical possessions. Apparently, he has well over 33 million Twitter followers, so this likely triggered a great deal of speculation. Musk was born on a 10 Lamad day, and this happened on 1 Lamad. So one could also speculate about what might be going on energetically here. In an echo that seems to hearken back to the March for Our Lives gun protest demonstrations in 2018, there was an important announcement from Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at this time, as he announced that, effective immediately, it is no longer permitted to buy, sell, transport, import, or use military-grade assault weapons in this country. This rapid response came after the murder of 22 people in the worst mass shooting in Canada's history a week earlier. In the U.S., there was also the announcement that New York schools will remain closed for the rest of the academic year, and that schools and universities in many places are working on plans for moving forward in new ways this coming fall, as it now seems inevitable that this will be a long haul. In the horoscope blog, I made mention of a number of people born during this time frame. Many of them are most definitely bright light rock stars, one of whom was Roger Daltrey, the lead singer of The Who, who was born on 1 Lamad, the first day. Roger has always shone brightly, with his long, blonde, curly hair, fringed jacket, powerful voice, and dynamic stage presence, listed as one of Rolling Stone magazine's greatest singers of all time. His song, Near to Surrender, contains lyrics that seem quite pertinent to the current times, which contains the lines, "You might think you're small with your back to a wall, or you might think you're sad when you've been hurt so bad. But when someone cares for you, someone who shares, you're not near to surrender anymore." Saturday's Two Muluk energy was the same as was in place at the sudden death of Elvis Presley in 1977. Which shocked a whole generation of his admirers. People still make the great trek to Memphis to see his Graceland home, which has been kept as a shrine. He was born on a 2 Lamat day and died within this Lamat Tresina, so again there is that Lamat connection. His song, "Lord, This Time You Gave Me a Mountain," also seems highly pertinent to these days. In 1955, a young Elvis gave his first professional performance during this Tresina in his hometown of Tupelo. And then we come to Four Shwen on Monday, May 4th, which is the Maya birth energy of David Bowie. Where does one even begin to comment on the life of this planet's favorite starman? A singer, actor, and master of invention and reinvention, Bowie was one of the most influential creative forces of the 20th century. Born under the solar influence of Four Shwen, representative of the sun, working with the monkey-like creative force that weaves together time itself, David Bowie was the creator of a multitude of different persona, ranging from Ziggy Stardust to Aladdin Sane, to the thin white duke, to the goblin king, to full-blown tousle-haired rock star. He has also been called the man who owned the world. Always, always on the cusp of innovation, he clearly knew how to make the best of his birth energy, drawing from the creative force of the sun, the playful, artistic, and sometimes impish influence of his Shwen Day sign, and ever pushed forward by the light of Venus as he danced, sang, acted, and mimed his way through the world. Just 8 days after Four Shwen, we come to 12 Kawak, which is the Maya birth energy of Prince. 12 Kawak is a kind of dedicated, sort of gathering together kind of force related to Kawak's catalytic storm, an energy that can provide a final big push towards enlightenment. Like David Bowie, Prince was an innovator, a musician's musician who played multiple instruments, sold over 100 million records, won 7 Grammy Awards, an Academy Award, and was even dubbed the sexiest vegetarian. He's been described as a combination fusion of rock, soul, sex, and funk, achieving the status of legend for his achievements in bucking convention on multiple levels, particularly in music, where he was an unparalleled songwriter and guitarist. By the time of his death, it was as if he had almost burned himself out, and then, suddenly, he too was gone. Okay, so these are some of the events that have taken place during this Tresina, and some of the bright lights who were born during this time frame. As usual, there's much, much more that could be said, but let's just have a look at what's happening now. My horoscope blog highlights some of the days, and we have already seen a few of the signals that are being sent out. What do they signal so far? Well, they tell us that first, that the world has a long way to go before this COVID-19 situation is under control, as emphasized by the Director General of the World Health Organization a few days ago, as he warned against complacency and emphasized that lockdown measures and social distancing definitely help to curb the spread of this dangerous virus. He also said that most countries are really still in the early stages of their epidemics, and in some areas there's even a resurgence in cases. We can look to places such as New Zealand and Australia for guidelines. They're now starting to ease restrictions because their case numbers are going down. New Zealand, in particular, has done an amazing job at curtailing the spread. We have seen, unfortunately, that despite all the deaths, there are still far too many people who think their own personal freedoms are more important than the health and safety of others. And we have seen that leaders are divided on how to deal with this. Some are clearly willing to risk widespread contamination, even in factories and in public places, for the sake of their own political interests. In the US, the mixed messaging coming from the White House is causing a great deal of confusion and leaving the governors of different states on their own to sort out how to deal with the crisis. We have seen that even individuals like 100-year-old Captain Tom Moore can make astonishing, miraculous contributions if their hearts are in the right place. And then there's Greta. When this Tresina was in place last year, Greta Thunberg was traveling across the Atlantic aboard a solar-powered yacht throughout the Tresina in order to attend UN climate summits in the US and Chile. This time, just before this Tresina came in, she donated the $100,000 prize she was given from a Danish foundation to UNICEF to support children during the pandemic. We have seen that everyone, even billionaires like Elon Musk, everyone is feeling the earth shifting under their feet as priorities change radically, as careers and livelihoods crumble, as life as we once knew it has turned sideways or upside down completely, and everyone struggles to find new paths. Some find that new paths may open as a result of current imperatives, while others may be lost for a while. Nothing is certain at the moment. We're also becoming aware more than ever that we're all in this together, that everything is connected, that everyone has a part to play, whether it's being a part of the essential services that are keeping the food chain moving along, or whether it's involvement with healthcare services or public safety, or raising money to help people in need, or whether it's finding ways to be responsible and follow the guidelines for one's own personal safety as well as the safety of others. Things that used to be taken for granted no longer are, and much more thought is now going into every aspect of daily life. It's interesting that all of this has been happening towards the end of this current 260-day cycle. As we go through the last few days of this cycle, through this Lamat Tresina, the signals will become even clearer. Much of this Dracaena is about leadership. Who is leading? How are they leading? What ethics are involved or not? Do they deserve to be leading? Where is it all heading? We shall find out. Okay, for anyone listening to this from somewhere other than my website, you can find my Maya Count of Days horoscope either by going to whitepuppress.ca and clicking on horoscope blog, or going to mayacalendararts.com and clicking on horoscope blog. That site includes other information on Maya Calendrix, some posts that I've written on topics such as birthdays and energy cycling, and some jottings about things that I offer, such as coaching services and personalized artworks. For anyone who might like some assistance directly from me in terms of exploring how these energies may work within your own lives, there are a number of options, some of which are outlined on that Maya Calendar Arts site. There are many, many ways in which to work with these energies, so I've not included all possibilities there. Feel free, if you wish, to contact me if you have any questions. There is contact information in the websites. Lastly, if you haven't already done so, feel free to subscribe to the horoscope blog accessible through my websites if you'd like to receive automatic updates every 13 days. You can access this sign-up form from either site. I'll finish off with a short quote from the immortal Walt Whitman as he muses about dawn, which is where Venus is heading after it finishes its current evening star phase. He says, "Preceded by an immense star, almost unearthly in its effusion of white splendor, with two or three long, unequal spoke rays of diamond radiance shedding down through the fresh morning air below. An hour of this, and then the sunrise." The Dracaena that comes in next, in mid-May, is all about birth. A new beginning. More on that next time. Until then, please be safe. Love to you all.